Take that look of worry. Mine's an ordinary life. Working when it's daylight and sleeping when it's night. I've got no far horizons. I don't wish upon a star. They don't think that I listen. Oh, but I know who they are. And I don't mind.
That's it.
You to go a little bit longer. No, you know what? That's a great track, man. Thanks for opening up the show that way, Antonio. Yeah.
You know the track, then.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I know. It's good. It's just, it's always nice. Like, obviously, some people sing and I get it right away.
Right.
And then, but I'm always impressed too sometimes with the songs. They're like, they take their own little spin on it.
Right.
Which is kind of cool. But it's our thing here at The Construction Life. So it's just nice. Like, that's how we started. I don't know.
I like it.
Yeah.
I
love it. And it's 600 plus shows now, and we're going to continue doing that.
Awesome.
And it's kind of the price of entry to come on to the show.
Yeah, for sure.
Simple as that, right?
For sure.
Welcome, Antonio.
Thank you for having me.
We haven't done a Florin show.
Well, this is why. Like, I know when I was watching.
I've spoken to some installers.
Right.
Trim guys that cross over, they'll do it. GCs that do it. But we've never really spoken to, you know, a retailer salesperson that actually handles the whole industry of the flooring, right?
Right.
And I'm like, let's have this conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, awesome. I think it's amazing. I think it should be. Like, it's not for me, for the construction part, I find that flooring is not that sexy or that, I don't know. I just don't find it that out there. You know what I mean? Like, you see other parts of construction.
You think it's framing. Like, it's more of a worry than an actual detail because GCs look at it like, if I damage the flooring, then it's on me now kind of mentality.
Right.
But in today's day and age, if you're a GC and you're handling projects and you're not protecting finished material as it's being installed, then you should be questioning how you're running your ship.
True.
I was, from my day one, I was always putting down Masonite. I never got onto the train of cardboard. And it was a really simple test for me.
Right.
I dropped the screwdriver, you know, tip first.
Right.
I dropped the hammer, claw first.
Right.
And I'm like, it always went through the cardboard to a point where it left a little mark.
Yeah.
Or even sometimes worse.
Yeah.
And whenever I had eighth inch Masonite, it never went through.
Right.
And then it was a pain in the ass because you had to go to the big box stores and you'd buy 50 sheets of eight. And that's back in the days when they were like $7 a sheet.
True.
I don't even know what they are now. I think they're 14, 15 for an eighth inch, right?
Around there. Yeah.
And then you finish a job and you hope you have another job so you can just cart that one to the next one.
Right.
But that's not always the case.
No.
So now you got to store all this stuff versus all the cardboard. You just put it into a bin and it's gone. It's done, right?
I know.
But there's that one moment that if someone drops something. And we've had to replace a board because something happened. We had to do certain things because something happened.
Yeah.
And it's just, we're going to have a good chat. I'm looking forward to this one. And plus, I love the name, right? So anything that's associated with Godzilla or King Kong, like if you got a construction business that has King Kong or Godzilla in it, you're on the show. It's simple as that, that's man. It. So Floorzilla, I love the name. Like, where did that come from?
You know, it was something that came to me. I was thinking of names and I came up with it and I'm like, yeah, it works.
It sticks, man.
It's a small store with a big name. Right? But it sticks. Yeah, like you said, for sure.
Antonio from Floorzilla is here, floorzilla.ca. You can find him there all over IG under at Floorzilla. His phone number to reach him is 647-671-9871. And the email to get them is floorzilla@rogers.com. I'm wearing Chris's tee, Dr. Granite. I haven't spoken to Chris in a little while. I know he's been busy polishing stone and he's been doing all kinds of stuff. And he will never reveal his little secrets, and for good reason, because he's perfected those secrets. So he should keep those. That's what he's built his business on, and he's got a hugely successful business, and I have a lot of respect for him because he brings life back into stone. And also, I'm a natural stone guy, right? So I will always skew towards natural stone over quartz or man-made or porcelain.
Right.
I tell people all the time, I've done tests before with the other materials, and the natural's always held up, and the man-made's never held up.
Right.
So it's just, I get it, but that's a different show. We ain't going to talk about that. Let's get into the world of flooring now.
Okay.
Off mic, you were telling me that you've been in the business for a good chunk of time.
Yeah, 25 years. You know, worked with an awesome company. You know, I don't mind even mentioning them.
It's up to you.
Barwood Flooring.
Yeah.
Great company. I learned a lot from that company. Like, I learned a lot from the owner. He taught me a lot. Never left with hard feelings. I still talk to them till today. Yeah. A lot of the workers that I worked with prior or in the past. Yeah, no, awesome company. I learned a lot. I bounced around after that, after the 18, 19 years I was there. I went to some other companies, worked in sales, and I said, there's one thing that I'm missing, and that's opening up my own place. I always wanted to do it.
But what was missing from your own place that you didn't really see?
Doing things my way, right? Doing things, and I'm not saying it's the right way, it's just I wanted to put a different spin on the flooring industry. I find that when it comes to flooring, it's always the repetitive thing. The customer walks in, you try to sell them on the highest price possible. I'm doing a different spin on it. I'm bringing it back to the way it was in the old days where you had that, you know, interaction with the customers. And where my store is, believe it or not, it's a small town.
Yeah.
It's growing. But I feel that I have that one-on-one with that customer now, and that's what I'm trying to bring.
I would say it's the purpose behind the product.
Yeah.
Instead of the price behind the product.
That's right.
And I get it. Like, we're in some really stressful economical times right now.
Yes.
We were in the heyday when the fiasco was going on not too long ago, and everybody was spending money because they were stuck in their homes and they were deciding, like, my home is not feeling good, which is a translation, I'm not feeling good, so let's spend money and change things in our home.
Right.
But they weren't thinking correctly, and I was still advocating for, like, don't be splurging all this stuff. It doesn't mean that things are all perfectly good, that you should be just offloading whatever you have. It doesn't work that way.
No.
I find now you're getting a lot of purpose behind products,
right,
and the reasoning behind them on why you should go this route,
right,
which is what you're focusing on.
Yeah.
Like, you got a customer coming in, you have a conversation, let's try to figure it out. Obviously, we could start at different levels, or you could start at, you know, the landlord special at the bottom kind of thing.
Right.
But then also the longevity of it and what you really That's want right. and the possibility. And this might happen, I think, because, you know, you and I are coming from, you know, our families are coming from the old world.
Right.
You got the generational transition going on.
Right.
Where, you know, I love visiting Europe, and you're seeing a structure that's been through generations.
It wasn't
built last week.
That's right.
And decorated last week.
That's right.
And so I think that's starting to happen a little bit in Canada, where, you know, based on our tax and the way things are being set up unfairly to us,
right,
we're going to have to consider how much longer can we hang on to these properties and keep them within the family, which means that you buy a product. Let's say we're going to focus strictly on flooring to refinish that down the line.
Right.
Or remove it and put something else down the line.
That's right.
Like, you, a lot of people not too long ago were coming into this landscape of construction going, we're only going to need it for 5 years because we're going to put a for sale sign. So it doesn't matter to us. So give me the really, really cheap above landlord.
You're so right about that. You're so right about that, because when it, especially with flooring, like you said, you know, you can refinish it down the line. You can. Nobody thinks like that.
I've never had a client ever speak to me like that. Not once.
And I started with floor sanding in the beginning. I started with floor sanding. And you know what? It's kind of a dying thing now. It's because everybody's like, no, you know what? I'll put the vinyl down. I'll put this down. I'll put the laminates down because I'm only going to be here for 3, 4, or 5 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like nobody puts that thought anymore into it. It's just, okay, I'm going to flip this house so it doesn't really make a difference anymore. And I'm noticing that it's a lot more and more.
I mean, now. I'm totally 100% in agreement. If you're building a second unit and you want it to last a long time, I would say, don't get the bottom of the barrel. Get some decent
100%
vinyl flooring.
Yes.
I wouldn't even lean towards laminate because I find that vinyl is a lot better a product.
Yes.
And it looks a lot better. Yeah. But I mean, it's going to give you the durability of you not trusting whatever tenant you're going to get into that place.
Yeah.
Whatever they're going to drop, spill, scratch, all that stuff.
Yeah.
It already gives you longevity that way.
100%.
But when it comes to your own home, I would encourage clients to think about, I want you to walk around the house barefoot.
Right.
I want you to understand what it feels like. And if you've got pets, if you've got children, get the pets to walk around and determine exactly how loud those claws are going to sound.
Right.
And all that stuff. And you can get into this whole world about the different woods, because I've never been sold. I've been educated.
Yeah.
I went down the hardness route when I got into construction. We started having these conversations about wood hardness and stuff like that.
Right.
But I'm experienced enough to cut wood, and I've cut almost every species. Right.
Right.
And a blade still goes through. It doesn't matter what the hardness is, right?
Yeah.
And so if you drop something on wood, it's still going to leave a mark.
Yes.
So you have to just be conscious of what you want out of this flooring, right?
Yeah.
And then there's also, you got to educate yourself about the building science of things too.
Yep.
Because you get clients that are like, listen, we want that pioneer look. We want that 2 foot wide.
Yes. Yes.
But your house was poorly built.
Yeah.
And it's not sealed correctly.
Right.
And you're... wood moves.
Yeah.
And I don't recommend you going this wide. As beautiful as it is, I don't recommend it. If you really want to go this route, I would suggest we should start doing some
upgrades. Start doing something a little different.
So these are all conversations that you have, right? So I love that you start by purpose, meeting the people, having a purpose conversation, and then going from there.
Yeah. And I find that it's kind of lost now, you know, with a lot of
people don't have the time.
They don't.
Or they don't care. Which one, or both?
Maybe both, you know, like honestly. But it's
such a big decision.
Yeah. It's a quick sale, right? They're looking for that quick sale and like that, okay, they're out of the way now. And now let's focus on the next. And they just don't focus on that one person. I want to bring that back. I think it needed it even way back when I even started, because it was always about mass. Let's hurry up. Let's quick, you know? And I just, you know, slow it down a bit.
I think any of those decisions that revolve around material that's going to be there for a good chunk of time.
Yeah.
You should spend your time.
That's right.
Don't overspend.
Yeah.
And don't confuse yourself with noise.
Right.
Which we'll get into right now.
Yeah.
About the trends, right? I've watched in the last 15 years.
Yeah.
You know, I would say we've gone from a 4-inch plank 15 years ago.
Yes.
Possibly the grayish, you know, the gray brownish tones.
Like, yes.
Right. That was huge back then. Huge. And now it's like, I think we've been stuck in a white oak world. Or a black hole of white oak.
100%.
And I love white oak. Trust me. I love white oak. But it's just, there's other woods.
Yeah.
Like there's other finishes, right?
There is.
But I guess the trend wise, like where is everybody going these days?
It's still that oak. And the only reason why I say oak is because a lot of the customers don't want to deal with the staircase. Staircases all come oak. Right. So they're trying to match it all together.
Yeah.
Type of thing where you don't see much maple staircase.
I've done it. It's a pain to stain.
That's right. And that's why people shy away from it. Yeah. And they just stick with, you know, they kind of stick with that.
And then they can't afford walnut.
That's right.
Walnut is a
too soft. It's, you know, beautiful.
Different class of client.
Listen, I've seen walnut plank flooring installed. It is gorgeous.
We've done it.
Yeah. It is beautiful.
At the time, almost $20.
Yeah.
A square?
Yeah. Yeah. It is gorgeous, but soft, right?
And
if it's in a controlled area, like an office where you know it's going to be yourself using it, like in a den office in your home and you know it's controlled, why not? You know what? Do something different. Why not? But yeah, prices have gone down.
Have they gone down?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? White oak's reasonable now?
White oak is reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the runner up to white oak? What are people selecting when they go, it's a little bit
hickory.
Hickory's a good food. I like hickory.
It's very underrated.
Yeah.
I totally believe
hickory's a beautiful wood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. It's beautiful.
Especially on the floor.
Yeah. And you know what? Inexpensive. Goes down very nice. Maintains very well. Just like a white oak would.
Someone could correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I read somewhere where the old school desks... in old school schools, old school schools were all made out of hickory.
I think you're right.
The tops are.
Yeah.
And we always carved whatever we wanted into that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It was always a good looking tabletop
or
a
that's
desk, right?
Right? That's
so
right.
I always kind of liked that.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they're hickory.
That was I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
So hickory's a good option.
Yeah. Huh?
And then what are we still living in a reasonable width plank? Or are we getting extreme? Or are the manufacturers offering extremes?
Yeah, they are. I mean, you can go to 9, 10 inch plank.
Wow.
Yeah, it's some of it's insane. Like, it all depends on the area you're putting down. You're not going to come to me with 500 square feet, right? And you want a 10-inch plank. It just doesn't make sense,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, if you got a big great room,
right,
it makes a lot of sense.
Right. Open concept, yeah. Open spaces. Sure, why not? You want to do something different. You know, it's, but I still find sales are more into that six, seven.
A home built on trust, crafted with care. Your home is more than just a structure. It's where memories are made, where your family grows, and where you find comfort. That's why your renovation or building project deserves nothing less than the utmost care and quality. Because it's not just about creating a space, it's about creating a place where life happens. Tim, the heart and soul behind Ravine View Construction, understands that your home is personal, and whether you want to be involved in every detail or prefer to leave it in the hands of a trusted expert, he and his team are here to make your vision a reality. At Ravine View Construction, every project is handled with the passion it deserves, from the initial site assessment to the final touches that turn a house into a home. Tim's team doesn't just build, they protect what matters most. With a reputation built on trust, excellence, and a commitment to using only the best materials, Ravine View Construction ensures that your home isn't just beautiful, it's built to last. Tim and his team work alongside the finest tradespeople, guiding you through every step so you always feel confident and cared for. Let them help you create a space where you can enjoy peace of mind and cherish moments with those you love for years to come. Connect with Ravine View Construction today at 416-671-0170 or visit them at www.rvchomes.ca. For direct inquiries, email Tim at info@rvchomes.ca. Let them build not just a house, but a home filled with lasting memories. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
That's where
it's a reasonable, comfortable width that fits. It fits a small room, it fits a large room.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of works that way.
Yeah. I mean, a different way of installing it. I mean, you have to glue it.
Yeah.
Right. You have to you do your staples, your nails, whatever, but you should spot glue it. It just makes it safer.
Well, it makes a lot of anything. I would say anything above six automatically glue.
100%.
You should just be.
Some glue. Even do it at five.
Yeah. And if there's limitations because sometimes you'll do a radiant floor, so you can only glue, you can't nail.
Correct.
Right? But if you're not doing radiant, I would still glue and nail.
Yeah.
Staple.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't hurt at all.
Yeah.
I mean, because the last thing you want is like, I mean, those old houses have a lot of character because of those creaks.
Right.
But those creaks will get irritating over a little bit every 100%, time, right?
Yeah.
So you don't want to hear anything on the floor.
Yeah.
When it's moving.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. What other woods are people looking at these days? Is there a conflict between GCs that handle their own personal projects versus designers handling their clients and trying to convince the GCs?
Yeah, the designers is a whole different other ballgame.
What planet are they living on?
Oh, man. Yeah. It's like, yeah. Like, because I know they're trying to be different, right?
But to change your portfolio just for the purpose of changing your portfolio doesn't suit the client.
Right.
This is what I have a problem with, right?
Well, I mean, that's where the designer would have to do their homework, right? See where they're at. Some designers won't even listen. They just bring their own thing into their, right? And then the customer almost feels like, I'm overwhelmed and I don't know. Yeah, I'll do whatever you say because this is your industry. You know what you're doing. Where that sometimes gets into like, you know, weird stuff.
Like
weird flooring, like, you know, different shapes and different, some people like that look.
All the stuff that's coming out of like, what is it? The Eastern Europe kind of thing?
It's like that, but yeah, I'm talking about even vinyls because 80%, listen,
really?
80% of my sales are vinyl flooring. And believe it or not, and it could be where I'm at because a lot of the houses are close to the water.
Okay.
Right. And they.
Stability.
That's right. It just withstands climate a lot better than, of course, wood will.
But it also has, I go back to what I said earlier, it also goes to the building envelope, it goes to the installation techniques, it goes to a lot of that stuff. So if I want clients and designers to understand that, sure, you want to choose a really expensive material for flooring.
Right.
Then there's a really expensive cost associated to install that product.
100%. Yep.
There is no cheap version
of
installation on a higher end product. And that goes across the board to anything in construction.
Yes.
Right. So like factor in, you want to buy, sure, spend the money there, but you better splurge on the install.
Right.
And the education associated with that.
That's right.
Because then you need the right person to be doing that.
Yeah, that's right.
Because a lot of guys nowadays, they just don't really know the understanding behind why is this, why is the manufacturing offering up these specs?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you got to do all these steps to get this done properly to avoid any kind of issues, right? I've never had it on any of my job sites where the seasons change and all of a sudden you've got gaps that will take a heel. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it moves. I've gone to a lot of like deficiencies in homes when I was prior with Barwood. And yeah, like you see a lot of flooring do its thing, right? Expand, contract, if it's not controlled area, and you know, and it'll do its thing, right? I think not so much with engineered flooring, but more with the solid part, because at one time that's all was selling was
the solid. I mean, but solid, okay. Even if you were to sand it, it would take you 100 years to get to the point where you have to remove the solid hardwood flooring.
Oh, yeah. And if it doesn't, you're doing something's wrong.
Yeah.
Like you're either sanding it way too much or, I mean, they used to sell that, you know, 1¾ by 3/8
The classic
stuff.
Red oak.
Classic, yeah. Right? That, okay.
Once you saw the cleat nail heads,
that's it.
Then you knew that that was the last time
you always had that one customer. Can I still sand it? Can I get one more sanding out of it? No.
Do you like the glitter all over the floor? Like the uniform glitter?
That's right.
No, and I get it. And that's all of Toronto. That's probably all of Hamilton too.
Yes.
Right. I'm assuming because it was all just bred the same way.
That's right.
And now there's a resurgence going on in Hamilton where they're trying to fix these places up.
Right.
And it starts to add up because, I mean, all right, what's the average nowadays? What's when it comes to vinyl flooring, how low are we getting? How high are we getting? And what's the basic difference between the two of them?
Lowest, you're probably getting, you know, $1.99 for like a 6 mm vinyl.
Yeah.
You know, that's anything lower than a 6 right now, like a 5 mm or 4.5, stay away from.
Why? They'll just start to fall apart?
Eventually, down the road, once you walk on it, the clicking system, the more it just either separates, cracks, because it becomes brittle.
Really?
Yeah. The more you walk on it, it just happens. My suggestion.
I mean, 6 mil is 1/4 inch, and they're making product that's thinner than that.
Thinner than that.
So you're getting close
to 5 mm.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're getting close to like an eighth of 3/16.
That's yeah.
That's thin.
I know, and that's why a lot of these companies now they're switching away from that. They're not even making any 4.5 or 5. You could still find it, of course, but my customers that walk in, I just completely stay away from it. It doesn't make sense. You'll get it for cheap.
I know, but it does. What's the point of it start to fall apart, right?
That brings us back to, you know, I'm just fixing the house up quick because I'm selling it. Let the other guy worry about it because, right?
Yeah.
And that's where that falls into.
Yeah.
But yeah, any customer that really cares and they're putting, you know, they're putting this out throughout their house, no, stay away from fives.
And anything, then how much thicker does it get? Like
you can go from 6 mm, 7, 8, 9, and 10. They even make a 10 mm.
A 1/2 inch on vinyl?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the price on?
I've even heard some, they're starting to think of making a 12. That's what I'm hearing.
What's the reasoning behind? Is it just they're adding more cushion? They're adding more stability in the locking?
Like when I say 6 mm, that's not the whole. Like that includes the under pad already attached to it.
Yeah,
they include that under pad attached to it now.
But even at 10 or 12 mm, like, I mean, that's pretty thick.
Oh yeah, that is thick. Yeah. I sell it in my store. I sell a 8, 9, and 10 in my store. So you know what? It sells, but in some cases it's an overkill. There's no need for it.
Yeah.
Anything 7, 8, even 9 is fine. Is fine.
And all
you're
of them,
safe with a 7.
Are all of them fully waterproof and water protected? Or they're different degrees?
Yeah. Some companies that I sell, most of them are like water protected.
Yeah.
Right? But 100% waterproof, there is some companies that make 100% waterproof.
We did a bunkie job a few years back.
Yeah.
And they supplied everything. So it was all just a kit, right?
Right.
And then the flooring came up. And there was no place to park it safely anywhere to protect it other than just covering it with a tarp.
Right.
And he just said to us, don't worry about it. If it gets wet, it gets wet.
Yeah.
And it sure enough, it rained.
Yeah.
And it got wet. And he goes, just make sure that when you're installing it, that it's dry.
Yeah.
Simple as that, yeah. Right? But even if you ever had a flood for whatever reason, right. And this it was saturated, take it out and then let it dry, put it back in, that's and it's right. done. And yeah. I'm like, that's the impressive part of it. That's where I go back to, if you want to, it's almost an upgrade in a landlord, if you want to do a second unit, if you want to do a property.
Yeah.
Because the likelihood of something happening to that extreme, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, then you know that you can remove all this stuff and then put it back sure. in after it dries, sure. right?
Yeah. And I think that's the beauty. I mean, listen, if you asked me 10 years ago.
No. I've seen it. I've right. seen them.
Vinyls?
I know.
No. I tell customers all the time, if you asked me 10 years ago, vinyl, I would not even look at it. But nowadays, they've gotten so much better at the work they've done. Yeah, no, it's great stuff.
Why are people choosing the vinyls for throughout the house? What's the reason? Is it for cost. The dirt? Is it cost, really?
Oh, 100%. One, cost and longevity, right? Like, it'll last much longer than your woods, depending on how you're using the floor.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, it all depends on how you use it, of course, but price is the main thing. Yeah, but then because, I mean, you're looking at, I'm speaking on more on what I experienced, that I find that price comes, especially nowadays, price is big.
It's just price.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even imagine you selling much solid wood.
No.
Planks, right?
No. Listen, since I've been open, I think I sold maybe a total of 2,000 square feet of solid wood.
What just, species was it?
Oak.
Oak?
Yeah. And it's only because they're trying to... they're trying to match up to something that they have existing in their home.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And they want to keep it that, you know, the solid material. So that's basically it.
I'm waiting for, I don't know how they would pull this off. Would vinyl ever create an inlay looking product?
Oh, they're coming up with subs every day.
Really?
Every day.
So they're actually working on something like that where it'll look like inlays. Really?
Yeah. I was prior to opening up, I was working with a company that sold vinyl that looked identical to carpet tile. There were people, I literally have it down, some of it in my shop now.
What it actually had, like, I mean, this is carpet tile in here.
Yeah.
These are squares that are in here.
Yeah. So basically it looks identical to this. Identical.
But it doesn't have a vinyl. Hair to it. Does it have a texture to it?
Yes. It's got a rough, they had to make a texture to it or else it becomes too slippery.
Huh.
And people were complaining about that. And so they came out with something new, and it's like rigid on top. It looks, people come into my store, they see it and they're like, is that carpet? It looks identical.
Like what, 16 by 16 or something? Like
it's a 24 by 24.
And they're clicked on two sides.
No clicks.
No clicks.
No click. This is glued down.
Glued down.
Yeah. So like, pretty much like how you would put a carpet tile down. Yeah. This is how you would put that down.
Is that the future? Is that where we're headed?
It could be. The thing is with carpet, if you like carpet, you're going to stick with carpet.
Of course.
Right? So even though you got a vinyl that looks like carpet, that's great. But I still like the warmth, the look, yeah, the feel yeah, yeah. of that carpet. Yeah. So it's hard to transition between one and the other, right? It's harder. More in commercial areas where like, I don't know, like big areas where hospitals
yep.
or, and they want that different look
yeah.
and they can clean it easier because let's face it. I mean, carpet tile, it takes a bit harder to clean if you spill something. Yeah.
It is 100%.
Yeah.
I guess that would be the second factor is like you start talking about the price point wise and then just the maintenance of it.
That's right.
Keeping it clean.
That's right.
Like they want simplicity attached that's right. to it, right?
Yeah. That's right.
Wood flooring or the carpet options or stuff like that. Or like, I don't think anybody's buying shag rugs these days. It's just clean, right?
Yeah, not that much. I mean, it all depends on where they're putting it down for rugs or even carpet, right? Especially in the area where I'm at. If you're doing a basement, people shy away from putting carpet in a basement. And
that would make no sense. Yeah.
So that's why it's just...
I bring up the inlay thing is because, I mean, you'll get into older homes, older structures, and they all had them. Like, they had beautiful inlays.
Yeah.
We knew at the time, I mean... Your hourly rate for a tradesperson would have been, I don't know, $4 or $5 an hour or something at the time, right?
Yeah.
Nowadays, to do inlays, I can only imagine. I've never done it on a job. I've always wanted to.
It's tedious.
It's very tedious and expensive, and it's got to be done correctly, right?
That's right.
And you need, right. And probably there's only a handful of people in each city that know how to do it.
Properly. That know how to do it. And that's just it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it becomes a challenge at that point. Are you offering something or you can't? No,
I can. Yeah. I know the people that can do it. Right. It's just not used that much right anymore. It's just not. But yeah, I actually know a guy that actually does like engraving and inlay type of thing on vinyl.
On vinyl.
So he'll carve out, like, let's say you want your name or somebody wants something different in their kid's room or something, right?
And he'll do it?
And he'll
water jet.
He'll just, yeah. Yeah.
And then you choose a different color.
I've seen it. It looks amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
What's he charging per square?
That's basically
plus the setup or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Kind of makes sense, eh?
Yeah.
Because you could start doing a certain kind. You could be doing your study, your man cave, your home theater.
Yeah.
You could do a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. No, it looked really, really
interesting. And what's he doing? So he's cutting it out, cutting out the negative and the positive, and then he puts them together and back glues them or something?
That's right. Okay. That's right. Or, like, let's say somebody, because I seen somebody that put their name, or they put something like home is where the whatever on their stairs.
Yeah.
So each plank that's going down their stair, their riser, they would put some words on. It really looks
I've done it before. I've done it in actual tile mosaic.
Oh, really?
And
yeah.
That was a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And it was just the same thing. It was just a water jet application, positive, negative.
Yeah.
And then you just, he gave you the piece and he glued it all back and that was it.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't cheap. Experts in smart home technology. Why settle for anything less than a home technology service company that truly understands flawless Wi-Fi, unparalleled security, and immersive whole home entertainment? Andrew is the driving force behind Uplink Smart Homes. He isn't just an industry expert, he's a visionary who creates smart spaces that resonate with your lifestyle. In today's connected world, clients demand more than just speakers and routers. They want an integrated system that seamlessly blends technology with the fabric of their home. Andrew and his team are dedicated to turning your home into a hub of innovation where every device, network, and system works in harmony to enhance your daily life. At Uplink Smart Homes, they specialize in designing and installing cutting-edge smart home systems tailored for your unique needs. From optimizing Wi-Fi coverage for flawless connectivity in every corner of your home, to implementing healthy home options like circadian rhythm lighting, their solutions are both high-tech and user-friendly. They also create whole home entertainment setups that deliver stunning audio-visual experiences, whether you're streaming your favorite shows or hosting a movie night. Andrew's approach goes beyond simply installing equipment. It's about truly understanding their clients and designing a smart home that caters to them. Contact Uplink Smart Homes today at 289-240-0600 or visit them at www.uplink.ca. For inquiries, email them at admin@uplink.ca. They guarantee that smart home technology will make your life better, but only if it's done right. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
Now
I don't even know. That was a long time ago. I can't remember what it was. I think for one phrase was about maybe 3 or 4 feet wide, long, and then about a foot high. I think was close to $1,000.
Wow,
in stone, right?
Yeah,
supplying the material.
Yeah.
And then he did it, and then he had to assemble it and put it all together. And it was about $1,000 to do that one little piece, right? So I'm sure it's reasonable now, more reasonable than that, to do it with the wood, right? With the vinyl.
I would think so. It's not something where, like, if somebody wanted it, I can do it.
You have somebody you can connect it with, right?
Yeah.
Are we finally done? I shook my head when I started seeing this trend years ago. Putting flooring materials on walls. Are we done with that? Or are people still doing it?
People are still doing it. Not as much anymore. Maybe something a bit different where it's very similar to what you got here, right? Where they're just putting different patterns now.
Yeah.
And, right? Just to add something.
But they were literally taking boards.
Yeah.
Either gluing it on the drywall or nailing it on the drywall, trying to hit the studs. Yeah. And I was like,
you're right. At one point, it was like massive. It was big, right?
It looks like flooring on a wall.
That's what
it
looks
like. It doesn't look like anything else. This doesn't look like flooring on a wall.
No.
And that's what this is, everybody's doing this now. They're all trying to figure out different ways of doing things.
You know how it is, right? What's in today is gone tomorrow type thing. It's really quick, right? And then things go outdated quick. So I'm always the believer. Keep it simple, because then if you find like grays, I remember at one point, like you were talking about everybody wanted gray. It was insane. And now everybody's like, I can't take it anymore.
It's all light colors now?
Yeah, it's more like light, you know. I still like wheat colors.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So like, they're going lighter warms.
Yeah.
Gray was feeling too cold for them?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Because it just, like, everybody had it. And then everybody started noticing, you know what? That person down the road has it. That person down the road has it. And it just, it got too much. It just got too much, right?
Everyone keeps forgetting it's your house.
Yeah.
Individualize it, man.
Yes.
Make it for you and your family.
Yes.
And that's your house. Do it that yeah. way. But too many people are stuck with the for sale sign.
Yeah.
Too many people are worried if we're going to even be here for the next 5 years.
That's right.
But I mean, but then what happens is you get that. I had an interesting conversation last week with Jim, and he was talking about this yellow house that he built in Etobicoke, Cape Cod style, and he chose yellow for the siding with white accents on the exterior, right?
Right.
And it stood out in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
But everybody came up to him, and they're like, it was either two schools of thought. You had the old school Italian Europeans going, what's the matter with you? This should be stucco.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or this should be brick.
Right.
And then you had the other school of people coming in going, I can't believe how beautiful this looks.
Yeah.
Because it stood out, but it felt like a home.
That's right.
Right? And he took the risk and he did it, and he sold it for a very pretty penny when he was ready to sell it.
Oh, nice.
Because whoever wanted it understood the value behind that.
Yeah.
And he individualized that house. You know, it catered his own personal touch, but whoever moved in there didn't do anything. And it was really funny. I think we chatted about, he built that 25 years ago, I think it was. And it was about 2 or 3 years that someone finally bought it. And then they started upgrading the kitchens and the bathrooms, and that was it. But they left everything else there.
Yeah.
So he was ready. And then he was asked if he wanted to do the reno. And I think he got involved to do the reno.
Right.
And I was like, it got me questioning about how many contractors today are going to have to go back into a project that they did to redo it again for a new client or the same client that wants to upgrade, right?
Right.
Because you get a lot of the younger generation here that don't even experience that opportunity.
Yeah.
And that's part of the industry.
Sure.
You stay long enough, you'll get that opportunity.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, I loved it. Like, when I saw the yellow, it made sense to me.
Or yeah, like when you, like, I visited Miami about year and a half ago, and the different colors, and everybody's different, and it's just, you know, we just got to add more of that. I believe that here, right? Just be different. Like, don't follow suit to everybody
else. But everyone's nervous about selling the house later on, or they're gonna not get the right buyer.
Yeah.
But I swear to you, you walk into these houses, they're all the same.
Yeah.
They're all the same.
Yeah.
Like, I can almost tell you that most of the kitchens are shaker style doors.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can tell you that the flooring is pretty much very similar in style.
Right.
You know, countertops are very similar and chosen of whatever tones.
That's right.
When I go to fabrications, I'm in awe of certain, like 10 years ago, I was seeing leathering going on the stones and stuff like
that.
And it was dark stones.
Yeah.
And you were like going, that's absolutely stunning. Beautiful. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But nobody, this is a one-off. Nobody's ever going to want to buy this as a, for their own personal house, because whoever it is going to be, they're going to think it's too dark. It's too uninviting.
Right.
I'm like, you're 100% wrong.
Yeah.
I get it. Everybody wants to be safe.
Yeah.
And that goes for,
like, I think that's it. Safe.
Safe.
Yeah.
But then it's boring, and then they try to liven up their property, I guess, with the decorating components associated with the house,
right?
So that's where the colors will go in or something. But the problem is that those same people will end up at Home Sense or Winners, and they're all buying the same thing.
Yes.
You know, and then you're like going, everyone's home is looking the same thing. You just bought this barn board kind of signage.
Yeah.
You bought these little things that you're going to plant around the house. It all looks the same to me.
That's right.
It's almost like Pinterest and house just threw up.
And you're
why don't you just
invite? That's right.
Like, I mean, like, who you are as a person.
That's right.
Who you are as a couple. Who you are as a family.
Yeah.
Like, put that into.
And that's what I want to see. Like, when customers come through my door, right? That's what I want. I want, pick what you. Don't worry about the trend. Like, you get a lot of customers. What's the trend now? Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that. You know what I mean? See what you like, what fits in your home. And flooring is hard. It's hard to pick sometimes with colors because, you know, at one time when we were younger, you had maybe what, 5, 6, 7 choices?
3.5 inch oak.
Yeah. Color.
Kind of honey color.
Yeah.
Or you went to the espresso color.
That's right.
Those are the two options. Yeah.
Now, oh my God, it makes it really hard
for a homeowner. Yeah. And we're versed into this industry, so yeah, we kind of have an understanding of like, okay, get rid of options 1 through 10. We don't care.
Right.
Let's look at 11 and 12 and get rid of the rest of them, and that's it. But right, a homeowner looking at 20 different options.
Yeah.
Like, what am I supposed to decide? Where am I supposed to decide?
It's so hard. And I don't blame them. Like, it really, really makes it hard for them to choose. Like, I got literally a customer 2 days ago. She brought like 7-8 samples home, you know, to check them.
Were they all in the same family?
Yes. You know, and it's, you know, it all, and I don't blame them because they make so many shades, one off, one here, one there, one. It's like, wow, it's too much for the, you know, for the customer.
Different manufacturers? Is that what it was? Or was it
actually, yeah. Yeah, you had like 3 different manufacturers.
So they all looking at their book, their catalog, and they're like, okay, well, we need the honey warm.
Yeah.
We need the espresso dark. We need something in between.
Right, but we don't want to copy that guy. So we'll maybe make it a little bit like this, and we'll make it, it just makes it really, really, really hard for the customers.
I had a guy reach out through YouTube. He was like, do you remember the name of this brick on this house that you built, right? And I, for some weird reason, it was a Canada brick, and I remember the name being Marshall. And it was actually a really nice reddish hint of purple in it.
Yeah.
Ontario size, classic Toronto brick.
Right.
So I was like, I was ready to type out the reply saying it was Marshall Canada Brick. And then I went on to Canada Brick's website and I was looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't find it. So I can just assume they discontinued it.
Right.
And so then there was 3 other ones that were very similar to each other and similar to it.
Right.
The one that I thought. So then that's how I responded. I was going, listen, I'm assuming it was Marshall. I could be a little bit off on the name, but I'm pretty sure it was called Marshall.
Yeah.
And it was Ontario size. But on their website, I can't find Marshall, but here's the 3 that are very close to it and had the same tonality in
it.
And I go inquire to those ones now. But I just didn't understand why, if they did discontinue it, why they would have done that, because you had people that wanted to use it again.
Wanted that.
Brick is a little bit, but even like you said, homeowners will still do remodel and they don't want to rip out the front half of the house.
That's right.
They want to integrate. And I've seen the specialists. When you get flooring guys that integrate it, and it looks like it's just...
Yeah.
That's hard.
I find that with tile. Yeah. Tile is turnaround is insane.
Is it available next week?
And
you're like, no, we discontinued that.
It's been a week. Crazy.
I don't understand that.
It is crazy. Tile is so hard to deal with.
There's no point in looking at batch numbers anymore.
No.
And keeping a note of it. There's no like, what's the point? Because they're not going to carry it again.
It's like this vein, you know, different than that one. No, it's gone. It's not, you can't get that no more. Now it's this type or this color. Oh my God. It's the turner. It's just incredible.
Speaking of which, do you get into that world on the floor, on the tile?
Tile, yeah.
Yeah, you got tile in there as well too.
Tile, yeah.
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 How's that market?
Not too much of it, but I do sell tile. And it's, like I said, it's really hard to deal with because of that reason, right? Where a customer comes in and like, can I still get this type of tile? Sorry, you can. Now it's this type or this look. And it's like, oh, you got to be kidding me, because they've already installed it. And like you said, they want to keep it consistent throughout, right?
They installed it in one room and they want to continue, or they want to just continue put it in a different room?
Yeah, like in, they want to keep it consistent. Like, we should have done the bathroom at the same time. And it kind of flows into each other from the front door, like the front entrance.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We should have done it. We didn't do it. We waited. We were dumb. Now we want to do it and we can't find that look. And, you know, it makes it's hard.
But I want clients to understand that each room should have its own individual style. Like, you don't necessarily need to bring the same.
You don't.
But then there's the big question about running flooring through the kitchen or from the kitchen to the rest of the house.
Right.
And I've never, and I'll continue to speak this. Yeah. I don't think hardwood flooring, wood in a kitchen makes any sense to me.
You know?
I'm sorry.
It's because we're brought up in that, because right? Chop Listen, up. Listen,
we've been to family get-togethers and prepping of food and cleaning up everything.
That's right.
And half of the stuff ends up on the floor.
That's right.
And it takes a beating.
Yes.
And I've been into people's homes where...
Kitchens,
You see the sink, you see the stove, and you see the fridge in the prep area.
Yeah.
And that's where the most worn-out areas of the flooring are when it comes to wood.
Yeah.
In tile applications or stone applications, I've never seen any wearing out going on there.
Yeah. Yeah, the European, you'll always see that where they'll have tile in their kitchen. But now, you know, it was funny when I was with Barwood, I would notice south of the 401, you would see flooring throughout their kitchens.
That was right? the line?
Yeah, that was the line.
And then north.
You go north, it's all right? Tile. And you started noticing the tile, and it was so weird.
Here's
so
the question. Weird. You've got an open mudroom on your main floor.
Yeah.
And you're putting hardwood. I guess yeah. south of the 401 is putting hardwood into a laundry room?
No, they're putting tile. They would put like that stone look.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The wood stone, right?
Yeah.
Which I'm not a huge fan of, but I mean, that's another room that gets a lot of wear and tear. Water comes out of the washer.
Sure.
And, like, it doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. Man. You're right.
And then you get the argument about thresholds. And I was like, listen, you get a good installer, you know, that knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily need the thresholds. You can leave the spaces on the other three walls there. So there's some flexibility.
Yeah.
But it goes back to how the house was built. You need to assess how the house was built.
That's right.
If you got like holes everywhere and you're just letting drafts going on, then that's a different story.
Right.
Then you got bigger problems to begin with.
That's right.
But I've never had any of my projects fail.
Yeah.
And I've never used thresholds. I never remember the days of going to Home Depot where you had two options for thresholds.
Yeah.
For shower thresholds.
Right.
You either went the marble gray or you went the cream marble. Yes. That's it.
That's it.
But my tile is black. What am I supposed to use, right?
That's your choices.
Those are the two choices that you have, right? Now there's a bigger choice on those kinds of things, but now you get people doing all custom stuff with the tile, which is where the skill set comes in.
That's right.
With all the installers, right?
That's right. Oh, that's 100%. Yeah.
But these 100%. Are all conversations that homeowners need to have, right?
Like, And this is the thing, right? It's taking time with those customers, right?
You find that when they come in, they're in a hurry to get out? Attention aspiring tradespeople and entrepreneurs. Looking to break into the skilled trades or start your own home service business? Meet TradeLinks Consulting, your go-to partner for success. At TradeLinks Consulting, they're passionate about helping you find the right trade, build your business, and mentor the next generation. Whether you're exploring your options or ready to take the plunge, they offer tailored career consulting and startup guidance to get you on the right track. Visit them at www.tradelinkconsulting.ca today and book your personalized strategy session. Your future in the skilled trade starts here. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. Or they don't want to give up the time that is really needed.
Not really. No? Actually, especially where I'm at, they actually want to be like, sit down, talk, you know, listen, coffee, and, you know, and that's why if you're going to be that type of person, because they feed off how you are, right? Yeah, exactly. If you're going to be that type of person that I'm in a hurry, I got something else to do, I got somebody else calling me, then, right? I believe that when you're with that person, you be with that person.
Yeah. Focus.
Focus. Focus on what they want.
Is it listen the majority of husband and wife coming in, or is it
majority?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And always, of course, the wife still makes that decision. No,
that's fine. But I mean, it's nice to have the bouncing board, right?
100%.
It's like, what do you think of this? Because I think both of them will bring both good inquiries regarding the selection, right? Yeah. What they're talking about. Yeah. And again, it goes back to the family dynamic.
Yeah.
Dog, kids, durability, what's the function of the rooms, things like that. So you want both people saying, well, this will be easy to clean. This will be easy to wreck. This will be easy to fix. This will be like, you have to have these conversations.
And you touched on it with our busy lifestyles now. With, like you said, pets, kids. That's why I think vinyl is so popular right now.
Yeah.
For that reason, because, you know, I don't have time to worry about that part in my house, the flooring, which gets used the most. It just does, right? So that's why they say, let's put that vinyl down. And I don't have to think about it. I don't have to worry about my kids spilling something or dropping something.
I'm a character guy.
Yeah.
Like I'm sure that you probably have seen this video on social media of a woman that wanted to refinish her stairs. And there was one particular step that her dog, who just recently passed away, always slept on. And that dog wore out that one step more than the other steps.
Right.
So she was having a conversation with the contractor about, what do you want me to do about this? Like, we're going to be refinishing all these steps here, but do you want me to refinish this one step?
Yeah.
And she came up with a really good, with the contractor, solution. They refinished the border and they left the inside part of it.
Oh.
The marks. And then they put a little plaque there as a memory towards the dog that was with them for so long.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm big on character, where even in my house, there's areas in my house from my dogs that have wrecked the wood.
Right.
And I have no interest in my head about fixing those planks because it's a reminder of the pets. I like character in a house. A house is supposed to get worn out.
And
it's part of it.
You're so right. And you're right. That's, it's just being lost now. You know what I mean?
Replace it.
People don't think of it. Yeah, they just replace it. They don't think of that anymore.
But I go back to the old school European where you walk in and you're like, I was a teenager when I first walked into this house. I'm a grown up in my own family now, and I'm walking into this house. And this house still looks exactly the same. They've repainted it maybe once or twice.
Right.
But the paint color is very similar to what it was always like.
Yeah.
And still probably the same appliances because they've been maintained and taken care of.
That's right.
And I just like, I like there's something to say for character being left in homes.
Yes.
And you can upgrade things in your home.
Yeah.
But still keep the true essence of character.
That's right.
Yeah. And that's what I think. I agree with you. And I would probably say south of the 401 is characterless. Yeah. And I would say more north of the 401 is, because you're fighting the old school mentality.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for really good sakes, the older gen are still hanging around and they still have a say.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like that makes no sense. And I think that it's also the same mentality and why there's always two kitchens in these homes.
Yeah.
You know, there's a kitchen in the basement, there's a kitchen upstairs, right? There's a kitchen that we use and the kitchen that is photograph.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And that's just how it is, right?
Yeah.
But we had those conversations. I'm always having those conversations where you have the extra rooms and you have durability, functionality, but you still want it to look nice. And I'm surprised that clients will come back at me after I present the options and we split it. We split the flooring.
Yeah.
They know they want the durability of some sort of stone material in the kitchen area.
Yeah.
And then they want the beauty of the hardwood in the other areas, right?
Right.
And we've done that. We've gone like, I was mixing 6 mil porcelain slabs right up against, 8-inch wide walnut flooring.
Yeah.
And it looked beautiful. And we made it so then, you know, they were both the same level.
That's right.
So it was not a stumbling block where you were kind of just walking from one area. You were just walking right into each other.
Yeah.
And it was simple as that. It just flowed.
Yeah.
And that's the purpose. That's why I go back to what I said earlier about walk around your house barefoot.
Yeah.
And just get a sense of what it is to walk around barefoot, right? Yeah. And you'll understand the value of choosing what materials you're choosing.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's important. People most of the time will just get the samples that you give them.
Yeah.
And they look at light.
Yeah.
Turn the lights on, honey.
Yeah.
Let's see what Mother Nature is going to look like in the morning with this, in the midday, and in the evening. I'm like, why are we looking at flooring? I think we should be feeling it too.
Yeah, true. True.
But they don't do that though.
No, because it's something, it's got to go with my walls.
It's got to go with the dresser.
It's got to go with the couch, right?
I know.
So that's where that comes. That's a part of it
too. What's the first thing they do when they're fully furnished, the house is done, they have their first function? Nobody pays attention to it.
Right. Yep.
Nobody pays attention to it. They pay attention to the conversation that's had.
That's right.
They pay attention to the family get-togethers.
Yeah,
they take pictures. You don't see pictures being taken where the camera's being...
No, I know.
It doesn't go down to the floor.
Yeah.
It goes down to the whole environment, right? It works.
Right. That's
but
right.
But these are all things that I notice, but clients don't always think about.
Yeah.
So you just got to present it to them and then let them make their own informed decision from that point.
I think the generation has changed dramatically, right? Because now you're watching shows on, you know, there's every show on TV of designing and everybody has their own way of putting a spin on things. That's where, you know, they would rather listen to them, like you said, than the old style.
What's the lifespan of a trend? Like in the flooring world, if something's really hot today, at what point is it going to die? Well,
I think grays lasted for...
They lasted a long time.
They lasted quite
probably
a bit.
Probably a decade.
Right? Yeah.
I would say a decade they lasted.
Now, it all depends on what type of floor, right? Because tile, like I said, changes quickly, right? So tile might not even be lumped in with vinyls or flooring or that's like a separate thing altogether. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, Gray's lasted a while, like a long time.
And it feels like the Oaks are kind of hanging out. It's probably going to be going on about 6 or 7 years now.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
That's like the number one discussion.
Yeah. Maple was always, it was there, but never really caught on 100%. You know, the maple.
People didn't like the grain? It's got a wider grain.
Yeah. They just didn't like the look. And like you mentioned before, is how it takes the stain. And
if you're doing site finish maple, that's a different world, man. Like I've seen it gone bad.
Yeah,
I've seen it gone good, where it was basically pure luck. We just didn't know how it worked out.
Yeah,
and that was given to the client. We're going, listen, we understand you're saving a whack.
Yeah,
but there's always this risk on this. Yes. Especially, I think it was more difficult with the darker stains.
Yes.
We just didn't know how it was going to be treated.
That's right.
But I mean, even in my days, I messed around with staining poplar because I couldn't afford walnut when I was building a headboard.
Yeah.
And I was like, let me just give this a go. And it worked out.
Sure.
Would it have worked out all the time? I don't know.
Yeah.
Poplars, sometimes you'll get an extreme greenish one. You'll get an extreme light one.
Yeah, that's right.
And I don't even know. I was conscious of choosing similar tones of wood that I was using.
Yeah.
And it worked out. Yeah. It did work out. And people see it and they're like, that kind of looks like walnut. And I was like, yeah, kind of, but it's not.
It's like a hit and miss type of thing, right?
It's a risk.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You stain it. Hey, you know what? This actually looks good. Or this looks like crap, right? It's either one or the other.
There was a period of time when I was like, I was staining everything. I was taking engineer wood.
Yeah.
I was taking laminate, like compression, LVLs, and I was taking all that and I was just staining, just experiment and tried it. You'd be amazed at some of that stuff, that Paralam beam stuff.
Yeah.
Even though it's like waterproofed and everything like that.
Right.
Once you kind of sand it and open it up a little bit and you doused it with stain.
Yeah.
It took it pretty good. It was a different kind of look.
Right.
Would it work for a whole piece? I'm not exactly sure, but I was messing around with all kinds because I was just curious.
Sure.
You always have leftover stain for projects or things you're going on. So you're like, let me just try this out. I want to try this out and see how it would work.
That's right.
But it's nice to experiment that way.
Sure.
But then we go back to the flooring and everyone's like, let me be safe.
Yeah.
I want to choose that because my neighbor has it. My girlfriend has it. My coworkers have it.
More now than ever because money. The times, the economy, they don't want to take that chance. I want to play it safe. I want to spend the money, right? I'll spend, you know, I won't spend too much. I'll spend the money, but it's got to be what I want to play it safe because I don't want to make that mistake.
Because if it goes bad, then what?
That's right.
Like that's a big then what?
Yeah.
To change, right?
That's right. And that's why I tell customers, hey, you feel, I want you to be 100% sure on the flooring you choose. Because it's not something like you put it down, you put all your furniture on it, you're like, ooh, it doesn't go.
We don't like it, yeah.
Take the samples, look at it in light underneath your light in your environment, because every light's different, right? So, yeah.
Mother Nature light, artificial light, different times of day.
That's right.
And that's it. Installer-wise, are you guys offering the installers?
Yes.
Yes.
I got contractors that work underneath me.
All over the GTA?
Yeah,
pretty much. Or focusing most on the northern side? No,
they pretty much go everywhere. Wherever they're told to go, they'll go. They have no problem with that, especially nowadays.
How are they these days? Because, I mean, I've said it over so many times. I can't do one trade as a full-time gig.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I would go ballistic.
Believe it or not, the guys that work under me, they do like contracting.
Okay.
It's not their bread and butter.
They're not just doing flooring.
No.
Okay, all right.
And I actually wanted that. Right. Where they do everything, where if something else comes up, like, I don't know, the joists underneath, they know exactly what they're dealing with. Right. Not that they come back to me and say, well, your installer's looking at me like I got three heads because he doesn't know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So that's why I aimed for that. Right. The contractors. And I've known them now for a while and they're good guys.
They're good guys.
Yeah. Right? They're really good guys.
And then how is the market right now? I guess it's busy. Is it busy for people or is it still slowing down?
I find that it's still busy. It's not. Yeah. It's, you know, the sales part of it may be slowed down a little bit, but other than like the guys are pretty much steady busy. So, yeah.
But people are just really conscious of the dollar being spent. That's all it is, right?
Yeah. Oh, when COVID was going on, that was insane. Like people were selling like crazy because people were staring at their homes. They had nowhere to go.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Right?
But they were willing to pay so much.
Yeah.
And then the I guess the lack of product availability.
Like, right.
That was that whole thing. So,
yes.
I mean, it was good for certain manufacturers because they got to offload higher end product.
Yeah.
Right. Because it was already available.
That's right.
So it's like, okay, if they you want to spend $2-$3 more a foot, I've got 10,000 square feet of this.
Yes.
And you guys can take that if you want right now. Otherwise, you're going to wait months to get this. Right.
Yes.
That's where the advantage was during that time, was kind of a nice cleanup of warehouse. Right.
That's right.
That's all it was. Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Attention homeowners and businesses. Are you looking for top-notch electrical contracting services you can trust? Consider the expert tradesperson behind Effect Electric LTD. They take pride in delivering quality, service, and professional installation on time and on budget. From Kohler generators to main service upgrades or network data installation, they do it all. With years of experience and a commitment to excellence, Carlo and his team at Effect Electric LTD are your go-to professionals for all your electrical and generator needs. Effect Electric LTD is an authorized Kohler home energy generator dealer. Kohler has air-cooled 26 RCA units, the quietest, the most powerful, and exceptionally durable generator with 109 amps max power on liquid propane. Custom color options, camouflage options, and every generator Kohler makes is built to last and is equipped with a commercial-grade engine. Call Effect Electric LTD today at 416-508-7725 or visit them at effectelectricltd.kohlergeneratordealer.com. Let's build something great together. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. What's the most expensive flooring you've ever seen, sold, installed?
It was, this is way back when, but it was an olive tree flooring. Somebody got it shipped over from Italy.
What did it look like? Italy.
It was very, it almost looked very similar to your back wall there.
Really?
Yeah.
That dark of a tone?
It had that dark of a tone and naturally, really? Not stained or anything like that, oiled. But when you touched it, very oily. So you literally had to wear a mask when you were, when you're cutting it, because there was like little shards of like the wood that when you cut it, like the sawdust was really, really bad. Like if you went in your throat, it's like, I remember that floor.
I've never heard of that.
It was beautiful looking, but very oily to touch.
How wide of a plank?
Oh, it was like two and a quarter, two and a half.
And how expensive are we talking about here?
It was like $16, $17, $18.
How far back?
Oh, this is way back. Like this is like, 2010, 2009.
I can only imagine what it would look like.
Yeah.
Stupid expensive.
It was something interesting. Like it was really, really.
Because olive doesn't grow fast.
No. So no, and that's.
For you to harvest it.
Yeah. And that's probably why it costs so much, right?
Yeah.
You know, so. You know, you have your different types of woods, like, you know, Brazilian cherry. That was big at one time, way back when.
Remember the Merbaus, the Jatobas.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of that Brazilian, South American, those kinds of woods. They're good.
They're good. They just change color like crazy.
Yeah. Like, I remember early in the days, like, what was it, Tiger Wood?
Yeah.
Where was Tiger Wood coming from? Was it also Brazilian or South American?
South American.
So it says it had a funny South thing American. With sun, right? When UV touched it, it would just change.
Or if you had an aerial rug and you decided to move that, forget it.
Because you would see it.
Really weird.
Yeah, it was a weird. It was a nice pattern, but it was very different. The pattern.
Yeah.
Like one board would be almost like this ain't even the same wood. Just like where's this from?
Yeah.
No, that's all Tiger Wood, right?
Yeah.
And I remember all those, and then people were buying into that, but.
And again, see, that's where people were trying to be different. Right? I want something like different. I don't want, but then everybody started getting into bamboos. Bamboos became big at one time and then just.
That completely. Was a car crash.
Yeah.
When I saw bamboo hit our market,
yeah.
I'm like, there's going to be major problems with this.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but bamboo, I can't remember the last time I saw a bamboo tree or, you know, in Canada.
Like yeah.
They're not here.
No.
So, right? They're designed for a different climate.
Right.
And then everything was harvested somewhere else. Everything was manufactured somewhere else. And now you're bringing it to this climate.
Yeah. It's going to do its thing.
And it became a nightmare.
Yeah.
And everybody was buying into that. And I didn't like, it had such a repetitive pattern.
Yes.
It didn't matter how you installed
it. Yeah, that's right.
It was just a repetitive pattern.
That's right.
Like, when I looked at it as a whole,
yeah,
a room not dressed, I'm like, visually, this is not doing anything for me.
The only way you can get away from that was the strand woven. When they would mix and, you know, like all woven all together. That's the only way. But I see what you're saying.
Are they still selling? People
very
buying?
Very little.
And they sold it again on the marketing aspect about the hardness of bamboo. And I'm like,
right. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. See, they try different things. And what catches, they can sell it for a bit. They'll sell it. And then it just, I know a couple of suppliers, but they don't even bring it in as much anymore. They just don't.
So what do you think happened to all the homeowners that bought into that train and they did their homes that way? They did the entire home that way. You think they're living with it or they've ripped it out by now?
I think
they ripped it out.
Yeah.
I honestly think they ripped it out.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You can't sand it.
No. You can, they say.
But it's not going to give you a different feeling to what's already there.
Yeah.
So I think they would have ripped it out.
I think they would have ripped it out. Yeah. Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? But this is what I mean.
But that was, that's a trend that got started.
Yes.
And then it was marketed a certain way.
That's right.
And then a lot of people bought into it. And then it's dead and buried now.
Marketing 100%. Pretty much. Yes.
They're trying to, I think I've seen some people bring in some more higher end, slightly different pattern based, maybe some slightly different stain based options.
Yeah.
But it's still, the stains, the darker ones, get rid of that repetitive pattern to it.
Right.
But I don't buy into the hardness of it. I don't buy into the energy efficiency of it.
Yeah.
I don't buy into any of that stuff. Yeah. Right. Because I can only imagine what's involved to actually produce that product.
Yeah.
With the compression, the glues and all this other stuff. And I'm like,
true.
I don't like
everything this. Has its thing.
Yeah.
You know, environmentally friendly. I get it. It's very important. But nowadays with vinyls that came in and all that, it's really tough to control that. It really is.
But the thing is, there's no reason to. And then for them to turn around and slap on a sticker that this is environmentally friendly product, you're like, I'm sorry, but it's not. It's right. Like, I'm choosing a product and it's just really simple. It's
right.
It costs something to produce this.
Yeah.
And it emitted something to produce this.
Right.
Period.
Yeah.
No different than the saw that's using electricity to chop it and then the compressor that's using power to install it.
Right.
That's it.
It's the same. Yeah.
Accept it.
Yeah.
Simple as that, right?
That's right.
And I think that we're probably shooting ourselves in the foot by creating chemicals or products that are supposed to protect it to make it last longer. But what are those chemicals really doing? So don't be talking this green train stuff to me when just accept the fact that this is actually...
It's here.
It's there.
It's there.
Simple.
It's not much you can do. I know. I know. You know, you're always going to come across that no matter what. No matter what you do, like customers come in and say, where is this flooring made from? Where is this from? What are they using? And what is the, you know, you be as honest as you can. But at the end of the day, it's like what you said. It's there.
Yeah, but okay. So, and I don't have a bone to pick with China when it comes to manufacturing, right? I don't give a shit about that. Like everybody's product is manufactured there. If you really were to break it down, then you want to be a hypocrite.
Yeah.
I bet you if you have children, half the toys that you purchased are Chinese-based
kind of
product that are made together. So it's like,
Why
don't you fight that battle then? Yeah. So I don't deal with that. But the thing is, like, Vietnam is becoming a manufacturing plant. Like, there's plants there for a reason.
Yeah.
And even if we have plants here in Canada or in the U.S., they're still using the same process.
That's
Everything's still being done the same way.
Right. That's
so
right.
So it's like, you know, we can argue about tires not being recycled. And we're talking about now putting tires into playgrounds. And you're seeing an increase of kids having problems because it's in the turf and all this other crap.
That's right.
And I'm like, why aren't you speaking out about that?
Yeah, that's right.
So it's like everything is there.
Everything.
So just accept it. So I don't think it's a fair assessment to come in and go, where's this made? And all of a sudden that five letter word of a country comes up and it's like a red flag.
Oh, at one time it was like, you said that word? No.
Really?
People ran.
They just ran away from every product from there?
Ran away. You said that word? You couldn't say it.
So where's other, what would they buy then?
They would just stick with 100% Canadian, not vinyl, because that ain't happening.
But 100% Canadian... Are they good products? Are they good? Are they?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
But the price premium is there.
No, it's through the roof. It's through the roof. Vinyls, you can forget about it. 90% of vinyl is made in China.
That's how it is. It's all recycled material, isn't it? Like, it's just all plastics and stuff like that.
That's right.
Yeah. So then you get into the petroleum argument.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm done with this, man. Like,
yeah,
your makeup products, you're like your high end fashion accessories.
Yes.
They're all made there.
Yes.
They've all used petroleum to make that crap.
You know, you can't just focus on one thing. Like you said, you got to focus on everything if you're going to do that.
Yeah.
And if you do that, you ain't selling nothing here. Nothing.
Then you're basically walking around naked. You're not taking the bus. You're not taking the train.
That's right.
You're not taking a car.
That's right.
Can't ride a bicycle because what's the energy attached to making a bicycle?
That's right.
So then stop that argument, please.
Yeah, I just...
No,
yeah.
I get it. I understand. Even during the funny years, they probably... You couldn't even say that name because nobody wanted that product.
No.
Because they probably thought it was saturated with it or something.
100%, yeah. Yeah.
But then we try to build our own backyard infrastructure and it's too expensive to build it.
Yes.
Here, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. Oh, so many...
We have the most amount of cedars. Correct me if I'm wrong. Western red cedar is Canada, isn't it? Don't we have the bulk of it from globally speaking?
Yes, you're right.
Like out west.
Yeah.
The world looks towards out west.
Yeah.
When it comes to a requirement for Western red cedar.
Yes.
I think the Washington, the northern states.
Right.
There in that area.
Right.
But we have the bulk of it there, right?
I think you're right.
So it's like, and I know this for a fact because I was in Estonia and we were having conversations there and people around the world were asking us about the price of cedar.
Yeah.
And I was like, I got nothing to do with that.
Right.
Yeah, right. Sure. We have the trees. They're there.
Sure.
But the thing is, like, we still have a premium on that product, right? But we could be planting, I guess, other trees or something like that. We could be manufacturing. I know there's some flooring companies that are Canadian based and they talk about the product.
Oh, yeah.
Harvest here,
yeah.
Milled here, and then processed here, right?
Yeah. Lot in Quebec. Quebec is majorly for that.
What are they using?
Just wood. I mean, they use their oaks, the maples, right? They have that big time in Quebec. They're known for that. So, yeah. No, it's still, but the price is... You know, double, sometimes even triple.
We've got so much land. We could be setting up so many more trees here.
I know.
And then fabricating our own stuff, right?
Do you know how many manufacturing companies to this day are trying to figure out a way to manufacture vinyl here?
What's the stumbling block?
It's just, it's too
expensive. The environment?
That, the you know, the running block. And they're just, it's just too expensive.
You it's can't just, compete with the product that's coming
never,
in the container.
Never, never. It'll never happen. It'll never happen.
Because you will never be able to compete.
There's no way.
You're probably going to be on the higher end of the price point.
Always.
For a lower end product.
And maybe at one time you could have made that argument where this is Canadian and this is from China. What you can't now, it's like nobody, it's all about pricing now. So it's really, really, really hard. You might still have that, but at one time it was more...
Yeah.
Right, emphasized more, right? Where if that's from China, no, I don't want it. I don't even want to touch it.
What about the other off-gassing argument that sometimes comes up? And I'm like, listen, every piece of material off-gasses.
Yeah.
And surprise, surprise, every piece of furniture.
Yes.
Drapery.
Yep.
Garment.
Yep.
Everything off-gasses.
Yeah.
So do you want to argue that?
You can't just focus on that, like you said, right? If you're going to do that, then focus on everything. Clothes, furniture, everything.
Here's the difference that I'll tell clients. How many times, outside of the times that you get drunk and you pass out and on the floor, and your mouth and nose is right next to the flooring, versus how many times do you pass out and watch a movie on the couch?
Right.
Eat food on the couch.
Right.
Wipe your hands on the couch.
Right.
Spilled food and kids spilled.
Right.
And then you're interacting with the couch.
Yeah.
And you don't think a second for where that fabric is. And we know that that fabric is protected with fire retardant materials.
Right.
retardant materials.
Yeah.
But nobody thinks about that.
Yeah.
But then it comes to flooring, tile, paint.
Yeah, they just focus on that.
They just, like, right? Bullseye to us and going, you guys are the bad guy now because you're using an off-gassing material.
Right.
And I'm like, everything in your house.
Yeah. Yeah.
So can you please, let's have an argument, like civil, discussing everything properly.
Sure.
Right? But the truth of the matter is that there's probably more in the furnishings.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure, I can only assume, I don't know the furnishing world or the drapery world or fabric world or whatever.
Right.
But I can only assume a lot of that stuff is also coming from China.
Yes.
Could be a high-end company here in Canada that prides itself on Canada.
Right.
And it could be like the iPhone where it's designed in California, but it's produced in China.
Yeah.
So your couch, your rug, your coffee table.
Yeah.
Shipped.
Yeah.
and it came from there.
Yeah.
But my argument is that you interact physically more with your furnishings than you do with your flooring.
You're so right.
You beating us up when you should be beating?
Yeah. Everybody should be looked at.
Yeah.
You shouldn't just be coming from
And if
that.
You want to make your own couch, then by all means, make a Muskoka chair and
maybe
that's
it's
it.
Just flooring is so mass produced, so quick. And so I don't know. And that's why they focus more on that. I mean, that's my side of the business and that's why I focus on it. But who knows if maybe, furniture companies are going through the same thing.
I can only assume that they are.
Right? Who knows?
Hey, homeowners and businesses, are you looking for top-notch tile and stone services you can trust and count on? Consider the expert tradesperson behind the Tile Guy GTA, Omid himself. He takes pride in delivering quality service and professional installation on time and on budget. From mosaics to large slabs to custom niches and miters, the Tile Guy GTA has you covered. With years of experience and a commitment to excellence, Omid and the team at the Tile Guy GTA are your go-to professionals for all your tile and stone needs. From full waterproofing solutions of every possible product to the finish, grouting details, even a hint of design recommendations when the client needs to hear the truth. Call the Tile Guy GTA today, 647-716-5062, or email them at thetileguy.gta@gmail.com. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
You know, because
what are we going to start doing? We're going to start creating some farmer market furnishing.
That's right.
Places to buy stuff.
That's right.
This is completely made out of pine needles.
Yeah.
This is what I want to sit on. I don't understand, right?
Yeah.
So I don't have that argument with the clients. I'm just trying to, if you want to educate yourself, it's fine.
Yeah.
It took me gas to get here in the vehicle. It's diesel, whatever. I'm wasting rubber. Yeah. Okay, whatever. It's all that crap, right?
Yeah.
But you can't point a target at us and not point a target at everything else.
No, that's
it's
right.
Not fair to say
that's
that.
That's right. That's right.
Is the flooring industry, obviously there's bad apples in the flooring industry.
Yeah.
They looked at opportunities and it's not just the flooring industry. I think every industry that has an opportunity to be corrupted in some way, someone will come in and create a product that isn't good for people.
Yeah.
But they sell it at a price point that makes a lot of sense and people buy it and then there's issues later on. That's not the fault of somebody selling you a product. That's the fault of you not doing enough research to choose a good product for your house. This is as simple as that.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, is it a huge, I don't even know what the numbers are regarding the flooring industry, I guess in North America.
No.
How much are we spending? Like, I know that we've had other people on the show and elderly and modifying your house.
Yeah.
For the seniors.
Right.
Is like something like an $80 billion a year business.
Oh, I believe that.
Construction-wise. This is just construction.
Yeah, I believe
just
that.
Just Canada.
Yeah.
Like you've got a segment of seniors that don't want to go carted off to a home.
Right.
And they want to outfit their home to fit them their new needs at that age
bracket.
That's an $80 billion a year industry as a contractor.
Yeah.
That's what contractors today should
and be. And the flooring part of it, I wouldn't even know
what I have no idea what it would be. I can only assume it's a lot.
It would be a lot. Yeah, I would say so.
So it would attract some bad apples to come in and create some really bad products.
Of course.
Fly by nights. I think you want reputation. I think you want people that are going to back.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you've seen, I mean, I'm sure you've sold product more than once, the same product to other people, right?
Yeah.
But then you've gotten the feedback from the people that purchased it previously.
And that's very important.
And that's important, right?
It's important because that not only it helps me tremendously because when I sell it again, right, you feel comfortable with that one company. Yeah, like I got 3-4 manufacturers that I deal with. They're flawless. They're amazing. Yeah, I love working, like selling their product because you know it just won't be any blowback.
Yeah.
Right? So you just feel more comfortable.
Because they back it and and you get, when it gets installed, that you see the value in it.
Yeah.
You'll probably get feedback from the installers themselves.
Oh, yeah.
They'll tell you whether or not the tongues or whatever are breaking off.
Yeah, breaking off.
Like it takes me longer. It was cake to install this. It was actually a beaut.
Yeah.
It was easy. It was great.
Yeah.
And it still looks good after a year or two. And then all of a sudden you're like, okay, well,
that's the question that I ask all the time. You know, how easy was it to install that product? Or did it take you longer? Was this one here easier or whatever? Yeah, no, it's important, right? I mean, you need to know that because especially when you're in sales, right? If you're going to sell that product again, now you know. There's no surprise.
Well, because we talked earlier about clients are just basically choosing what's already been sold, right? So they've seen it in someone's
Right.
You know, you'll get homeowners that will photograph it, post it on Pinterest, share it with other people. And then you get another homeowner coming along going, well, I want that one. And then they find out that it was a floor that you probably sold that's nearby.
Yeah.
And then they'll probably go, well, listen, so-and-so bought this and what's the feedback on that?
Yeah.
Then they're sold.
Yeah.
Simple.
That's it.
Then they get to choose it. And then you have another case study, so to speak. Right?
That's it. So now that, you know, I'm comfortable and the customer is comfortable as well because I sold it before. Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think the future of his flooring is going? What are we going to see in the next 10 years?
It's going to be
hard to say.
Yeah, it is hard to say. I mean, I find that, you know, vinyl is still doing its thing and it's strong. It's stronger than ever. Will it change to something different? I don't know. Laminate.
Is laminate still there?
Laminate is still there, but they're so pissed because they had this thing going so good. And then when vinyl came, it just wiped it away.
Yeah, but laminate, I go back to the monkeys that got in and saw an opportunity.
Yeah.
And they ruined it by creating a bad product.
Right.
Because I remember so many people installing laminate, and I say within a year, the seams were breaking.
Yeah.
Then you had gaps.
Yeah.
And they were constantly having to push and put it back together. And I'm like, that's a poor product. Yeah,
they got lazy with it.
Yeah.
They got lazy with it. Now they're trying to do waterproof laminate. They're trying to compete with the vinyl.
I don't think it'll work.
Nah.
I think vinyls took the market.
Yeah. It all comes down to, the thickness, because, you know, laminate was thicker. You can get a 12mm form. But now that vinyl is starting to get smarter and going, wait.
They're going thicker too?
They're going thicker too. So they're going to that 10 and they're going, right?
Laminate's price point is higher than vinyls though, isn't it?
It's gone down tremendously. They had no choice.
So they're competing that way.
They're competing, right? So they had to keep it either even, or some of them even had to make it go, you know, had to drop it a bit. They had no choice.
What do you tell your clients and contractors? What percentage of extra, just in case?
You know, you get some of them that say 10%.
That's the magic number that you always heard, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. That's way too much.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you know what you're doing with the cutting and all that, and there's not too many angles, right? 4 or 5% is more than enough.
Yeah.
Like I remember way back when it was always 5% for me.
Who changed it to 10?
10? I kept on hearing 10. Customers would even come in and say, should we allow for 10%? I said, listen, it's an overkill, really. But again, it all depends on where it's going down.
Wasting much material. The only time you waste material is if you want to decide to go on a bias. So if you go on a diagonal.
That's right.
That's when you start wasting a lot of material.
That's where you'll need 10,
maybe even 15%. Right? Yeah. But if you're going on a straight run.
No.
Your first cut becomes the end cut on the next row.
That's it.
That's just how it goes.
That's with flooring. It's, you know, I mean, it's it. Now, if you have different weird angles in your home, okay. Then maybe you add a little bit more. But that's
4 or 5%.
Right.
Right. Even the last job I did, I said, you know what, the hell with it. I'll do 10, whatever. And I had 2 boxes extra.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the cuts were bang on, right? Like everything it was just bang on. So I was like, I was just nervous, but they were cool about me returning it. Service charge and stuff like that. They were cool about it. I wasn't expecting them to return it. And we ain't talking a lot of money here.
No.
But it's just, I didn't want to hang on to it. So then I just said, okay, fine. This is it. Done.
Yeah.
But I could have got away easily with 4 or 5%.
Yeah.
No problem at all.
Yeah.
I wonder if you Google probably tells you 10%.
Probably. But I'm always going to stick to old school 5%.
Because it makes sense. It's different if it, like you, and also you go back to the layout of the room, you're 100% right.
Yeah.
It depends on how funky your house is, right?
Sure, that makes
sense. If you got curved walls, if there's an angle towards staircase, like all kinds of little.
All that plays into factor, 100%.
You got to do maybe a really tricky cut here or there, then that's a different world, right?
Yeah.
But if it's just straight room, square, rectangle.
No.
Doesn't make sense. You could probably fit your offcuts in a grocery bag.
Yeah.
Right? That's how many offcuts you're going to have.
Yeah. That's right.
But it's hard to, like, we got to always, the industry is always educating the client.
Yeah.
But the client is not always taking notes.
That's right.
Because they don't see the value in taking notes.
Yeah.
But we're always taking notes.
That's right.
So we can take that value towards the next
That's
job.
Our thing. I know.
And I'm surprised that guys don't get frustrated by the education process because they figure it's part of the sales process.
Yeah.
and we're all trying to take the high road and be nice about it.
Right.
Where, you know, you almost want to just be angry at them going, listen, man, they're just like, I'm the professional. Let me.
Right. Right. Yeah. True.
But that's just an issue. That's how you're going to deal with it. I think you just have to spend more time and effort finding clients that you want to work with.
That's right.
You're going to get clients that are just going to beat you down to the very bare minimum.
That's right.
And at some point you're going to realize, do I really want to be associated with this project or this client, do this work?
Yeah.
Maybe I don't.
That's what it comes
maybe
down
I'm
to,
not the right person for it. Maybe it's somebody else.
Yeah, right? That's right.
So I think right now in the industry, we're seeing a rash of people leaving the industry because they took advantage of it during the COVID years.
That's right.
And then they realize
that's happening.
To make a legitimate business now, you actually have to strategically plan your business.
Yes.
And they don't care about doing that.
Yeah.
They were looking for opportunities. That's all it was.
That's right.
So I would always encourage clients to find, you know, three good contractors.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm sure you could probably offer three good ones.
Yeah.
If they like, here's, this is who I would recommend.
That's
speak
right.
To all of them.
That's right.
And then there's a product. You guys have chosen a good product. They're going to do a really good job and then get them to come in and do it.
That's why me, once you find somebody that you're comfortable working with, it's very important to keep them. Because like nowadays, it could be tricky.
They just leave on a dime? Yeah,
they leave, or they just don't have time for it. And they just, you know, they start it, they leave, and then leave it there for a bit. And then it's like, I got my half of my floor done.
It's a flooring job.
Yeah.
Start it and finish it.
Well, they start it because they're like, that. I know I have it. So now I'm going to go finish off that one and go. If you're on that job, you focus on that job, you finish that job.
That's and then they start the other job and they get that job and then they start another job and they get that job and then come back to the first
this
job.
This is why I don't have time for that. Nobody does really, and not the customer or not even myself. So that's why when you find somebody that you're comfortable with.
Are you getting young contractors coming at you, and are you seeing a positive or negative from them?
I'm seeing a positive.
Good.
I'm actually seeing a positive. The three contractors that I know of, they're awesome guys. They love what they do. They love it. They literally wake up. They love it. I even got one of them. I got my son, which is 16. He's working with him now. Nice. And yeah. Good guys.
They get it.
They get it.
Yeah.
They get it. Yeah.
Good to hear that.
Yeah.
Because you're getting a lot of guys who are just not getting it. They're not seeing it.
And you're probably hearing it more than I am.
Yeah.
But the ones that I deal with, no, they're great. They're amazing guys.
There's always opportunity, man. There's something going on. There's always opportunity. Yeah. The way you look at it is an opportunity.
Yeah.
Simple as that, right? Yeah. So you can get frustrated or you can figure out how to benefit.
That's right.
Build the opportunity from it.
That's right.
Antonio, anything else you want to share before I get to the 12 questions?
No, that's it. This has been awesome.
Thanks, man. No,
we're been talking great.
Shop, and I know that the homeowners listen to the show.
Yeah.
They're quiet. They don't always reach out to me.
Right.
For the most part, some of them will reach out to me, and it's always entertaining because they'll bring up something that they've been educated by, I guess, their Pinterest house Google friends.
Right.
And then they'll ask my opinion about it,
right.
And I'll give them the real construction truth.
Yeah.
And they're stunned sometimes. They're like, well, that's not what I'm like. Well, in the group of people that you're describing, not a single one of them are professionals. And you're asking me, and I'm giving you a professional opinion.
Yeah.
If it's contradictory to what your friend circle are telling you, then you figure out who's telling you the truth.
Sure.
Simple as that. So I know that they listen and they appreciate, you know, having the truth shared, and that's it. So it's just, I think everybody's very well versed in the fact that I'm not a fan of certain things that are trendy, so to speak.
Sure.
And I'll always speak my mind, and I've never changed my mind on any of that stuff. Nobody's changed my mind on that, right?
Yeah.
I had a good friend. He just sent me this beautiful kitchen, and I'm a big kitchen guy that does. I don't like upper cabinets, right? I hate upper cabinets.
Right.
I like shelves because you use the same items every single day.
Right.
Human beings have habits.
Yes.
So, you know what I mean? And so we don't need these shelves up there. We don't need cupboards up there.
Right.
We need shelves, right?
Right.
And he sends me this kitchen, no uppers. It was just shelves. Beautiful hood, beautiful stove, beautiful island, beautiful everything, except for the bottom drawer cabinets by the stove area.
Yeah.
They were shaker with like some sort of grass cloth on the inside.
Oh, panel. Okay.
And I said, you know what? The shaker's okay looking because of the grass material on the front of it.
Right.
But other than that, it was a beautiful white kitchen. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, it's gorgeous, man. Yeah. So I stick with my guns, and I just don't like.
Sure.
A good friend of mine, he just had his kitchen done, and I just asked him how'd it go. And he goes, it was great. It was wonderful. We're very happy. And then he was telling me his wife's not fully happy. She feels that there was some missed opportunities regarding storage and space like that.
Right.
I didn't even get into the conversation about white shaker or uppers or anything like that.
Yeah.
Because I already know it's white shaker. I already know it's uppers, yeah. right? It's just, they're that's how they are.
Yeah.
One day I'll go and take a look at it and I'll just say that it's beautiful. It looks great. Yeah. Because he knows my opinion about it.
That's right.
Simple as that. So I like when they reach out, and then if someone's reached out and they're asking about flooring, hopefully they reach out to you guys, right?
Yeah.
Antonio,
appreciate it.
Floorzilla.ca. Find them on IG under Floorzilla, 647-671-9871. And his email is floorzilla@rogers.com. What's your favorite construction word or phrase?
Angle.
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 I like that.
I like that. Yeah. What's your least favorite tool?
Tool? A jigsaw.
You just don't know where the blade's going to go sometimes.
Scared, man. Scared.
Nothing like scary as like putting a 6-inch jigsaw blade on.
Yeah.
Then it becomes like a little mini reciprocating
That's
saw.
Right. That's right.
With more danger.
That's right.
What do you miss from your childhood?
Miss from my childhood? Not worrying.
That's a constant one on that question. And we didn't have any worries then. Our worries were if we got into trouble, how much did our parents would find out? That was the worry.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
And then we just took it and then we moved on.
That's right.
What construction sound do you love?
Skill saw.
Chopping?
Yeah.
Or no, cutting through.
Cutting.
What's your favorite beverage?
Diet Coke.
What turns you on and off in construction?
Laziness, turn off. And on? Being on time.
Yeah. And that's not on time on the time. That's you're there before the time.
Yes.
Favorite curse word?
Favorite curse word? Asshole.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
What's your favorite vehicle? Any mode of transportation?
1988 Honda Accord. I used to drive one with the flip up lights.
Yeah.
Used to love that car.
What color are we talking about here? Like
gray. It was like a dark gray.
That was the only generation they ever did the flip up.
Yes.
And they got that, I'm going to say, from the Prelude. Did the Prelude come before that or it came after that? I'm trying to think.
I think the Prelude had it. The Prelude was after.
Was it after?
I think it was after.
So they took it from the Accord then?
Yeah.
It's funny how...
I used to love that.
Today's Civic looks a lot like that 80s after flip-up.
Yeah, you're right.
Accord.
Yeah, you're right.
I see a Civic today and I'm like, that looks so much like an 80s Accord.
But that was amazing for me when the lights went up like that. Oh, man. It's like a sports car, but without having a sports car.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt one day?
Chef.
Culinary?
Yeah.
Any specialty?
I would say just plain pasta.
Nice.
That's it.
What profession would you not like to do?
Not like to do? Brain surgeon.
I smell toast. Last question. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear when you... if heaven exists, what would you like to hear when God says... If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates? Finally got it.
Yeah. Welcome. I don't know. Welcome.
Probably the one thing you want to hear.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that's one thing.
Yeah,
Antonio, thank you so much, man.
Thank you for having me. This was great.
Who's on the shop right now? I guess
they're my wife.
Okay, so she's taking care of it, and then you're playing hooky.
That's it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, man.
Thank you for having me.
Great to meet you finally. And we'll stay in touch for sure.
For sure, 100%.
Thanks, Antonio. We're out of here.